What's going on, guys? Tune in now to Downtown with Devin. This have another episode featuring a good friend of mine, so someone I've looked up to, who has an opportunity to accomplish a lot in life, by the name of Stephon Morris. I'm gonna tell everybody, you know, where you are in life and how you got to this point and who you are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Stephon Morris, as Devin mentioned, graduated from Penn State University, telecommunications major. Currently living in Atlanta, Georgia, working with Cigna Healthcare, managing projects related to health for the NFL. So everything that involves the active players, retirees, sometimes the spouses, depending if you fit under certain criteria, I'm kind of like managing and making sure the guys have all the resources as much as possible. From Washington, D.C., same area as Devin here, so we somewhat relatable. Both come from the same academy, prime example, Elite Skills Academy. A lot of our foundation definitely come from the tools and just the ground set that was mentioned there.
Okay. Now, you've had the opportunity to play college football, NFL, high school. Like, I mean, talk about, like, a little bit of the adversity that set in while you were, like, pursuing this journey to get to the highest level.
I think that adversity, you know, trying to get to the NFL is pretty much created adversity. And mm-hmm. What I mean by that is we getting about in our own way, as well as maybe families or peers telling little Johnny that they may be better than what they are. Mm-hmm. More so, also to add on to that, just putting that peer pressure onto them as if, you know, everyone's supposed to go to the NFL. Everyone's supposed to get drafted. You're supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. So if you think about it, when you grow up as a kid, you know, you have a role model, you have superheroes, those people that you know you look up to. For me, you know, that happened to just be my dad, the person that I looked up to. But I'd say the adversity that I faced was the fact that I said, you know, becoming an NFL player at a young age, at 6 years old, so early. That's all that I saw myself being. So from 6 all the way up until 23 years old, I didn't see myself as nothing else. I didn't see myself in corporate America. I didn't see myself, you know, working in high rises downtown, whatever it may be. I didn't see myself doing anything. So that's kind of like the adversity that come with that, just the fact that we don't branch out. We don't have the resources to let us know that we're more than just a professional athlete, or, you know, we're telling our kids that if you work hard, you're going to make it to the NFL. No, that's not necessarily true. It's a lot of people that work hard, but that don't mean they're going to make it to the professional football leagues. A lot of people that work hard, that don't mean they're going to pass their exam to become a lawyer.
Right.
You know, it's just certain challenges and things that you just go through that you face. So, you know, everything that I have learned from football, I definitely utilize it in my day-to-day. So being a dad, being a son, being a friend, being a great co-worker, whatever the case may be, you know, I try to use all the tools, just hard work, and try to not only instill in myself, but, you know, the people that I'm around. So
right. They
always say, you know, you ain't as good as the people around you. So I can tell you this, I hold myself on the platform, you know, very, very high. So the rights and wrongs, I'm with that. But me hanging out, you know, with Devin and knowing Devin, I hope that I'm being, you know, a great example for him. So I look at it as if, like, I can't be talking about this, you know, to the kids at prime example, talking about this to the kids, to the men and young men in the National Football League about,
right,
you know, maybe domesticated or education, or, you know, just life challenges or things life might throw at them. And, you know, I'm on Instagram or I'm doing completely different. It just don't add up. So, you know, none of us are perfect, but at the same time, why not strive to be perfect, you know?
Right. Yeah, I definitely, you know, see exactly where you're coming from, because I mean, a lot of people, they say things but don't live by what they say.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as, like, kids, like, I mean, nobody really ever asks a football player about their day first. They always ask them, how's football? So, like, everybody always naturally thinks that, okay, I'm a football player first. You know, some people, some athletes even feel like, why don't anyone ever ask me about, like, how I'm feeling? It's exactly. always asked, what, how's football? Like, what about me? I'm a person yeah. outside of football.
And that's the challenge that we face with even at the National Football League. And you talking about guys that's making hundreds of thousands and, you know, millions of dollars, and they still have challenges and that they may face with, you know, family. Just maybe struggling on a mental aspect outside of football, of mm-hmm. who they are. And this is more so, I'm speaking on the guys that's transitioning out the game. So the guys that's on the fence, the guys that's currently free agents, the guys that's I might have played my last down. So it's so hard for them to, like, overcome who they are. And all they know is, you know, for me, when I was in that position, it was Stephon Morris. I went to Penn State, yeah, you know, had all these accolades. I played for New England Patriots, or I'm currently an NFL free agent. It wasn't nothing that I just said just now that goes towards who Stephon is.
Right.
To be honest, you know, if I explain myself now, it's a lot of people who don't even know that I played football. So when I'm around my coworkers and things and me doing events and stuff like that, you know, it's a great conversation starter that I played in the NFL, but they won't know that unless they hear from, you know, one of my coworkers who just happened to mention it. And I just let them know. I'm like, you know, I've been going by football my whole life.
Mm-hmm.
So for me to be able to not associate with football in that aspect, it's a blessing, because, you know, it just makes me feel like I have a purpose. And don't get me wrong, my purpose was to play football. My football, you know, got me, you know, free education, got me a degree. No student loans, great resources, great contacts, my networking. So don't get me wrong, football was great, but at the same time, I realize now at the age of, you know, I'm 28 now, but I realize at the age of 25, that was much more than just football.
Right, right. I think like football can provide so much for us, but I also think that, like, people don't really, like, take in consideration and take in account for all the things that do come within the background of football, like the stress or the emotional roller coasters, or how, you know, you run into a lot of players that you may have been teammates with who, you know, deal with, like, suicide, and everybody think that everything is, you know, going great for them because of the outside picture, the picture that we paint for everybody.
Yeah.
It looks like it's perfect, but within inside us, it's something that, like, we may be, you know, struggling with or dealing with that no one else may be able to see, but that's only because...
And that's because they look at us as if, you know, they want to be us.
Yeah.
So, you know, going back to what I said, you know, you got these people that you look up to, and you see them on TV, and as a kid, you see them on TV, you think they're not going through anything. You see them
mm-hmm.
on commercials, you know, you see them on social media in this day and time, you know, you see them doing, being exactly who you want to be.
Right.
You wear their number, you know, for a reason.
Yeah.
So you don't really think about, as a kid, this person is maybe suffering from this. Let me ask this person how their day is. I want to ask them, the first question I wanted to ask Emmitt Smith was, what made you wear 22? You know? How many touchdowns you score? But think about it, that's how kids are. They probably ask Odell Beckham, you ain't faster than me. Like, it's always geared towards that. So I just think, you know, we can do better as a society.
And
just as a society. And it starts, you know, with us just, man, I want to ask him how his day going.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, if a young man asks, or anyone, a female asks any professional athlete that, or, you know, whoever, rapper, it's going to make them think, it's going to make them smile inside. Like,
right.
No one asked me how my day going. Maybe, you know, maybe they parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, but someone that's next to me, someone that's comment on my pictures and stuff, they ain't asked me how my day going.
Yeah, because, I mean, I was watching, what's that show, The Shop with Odell Beckham, how he was just, you know, pretty much, like, basically saying, you know, similar to what you're saying, like, everybody, the first thing that they ask him to do is dance. Like, he's a show monkey.
Like, he's a showman.
Like, people only look at football players. They don't look at us as like people. They look at us as, like, entertainment, mm-hmm. you know, like people that they see on their TV screen that think that they're like, think we're living these lavish lives because, you know, football provides an abundance of money. But I mean, just because a person has, you know, all that money, has the spotlight on them, has, you know, everything that someone else may want, that you don't necessarily know, you know, the type mm-hmm. of adversity that they went through to get to that point, because it isn't easy. You know, the path that everybody takes is different, but everybody's path has their own obstacles, has their own, you know, adversity that tends to set in. And sometimes adversity gets the best of us, like, you know?
Yeah, and they get the best of a lot of people. Just the fact, you know, since we're on this topic, you know, just the transition of the game. Mm-hmm. We never was faced with not being able to play football anymore, so that's something new to us.
Yeah.
You know, when something new, people get uncomfortable. That's the first thing that's going to happen. You're going to be uncomfortable. So now we at a position where we don't know what's next. We don't know if we're going to get that next call. We watching the waiver wire. This person got signed. Now we start pointing fingers. Now we start hating. I know I'm better than this person. Mm-hmm. Why he signed him? What my agent doing? Mm-hmm. Like, those are the type of things that come into our mind. And that's just... I wanted to use that. That's just devilish, but the devil, that's how the devil come in. You know, that's how he come into play. He start talking on your shoulder as if your agent not doing this. You should be playing. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case may be like that. But yeah, adversity just is just uncomfortable yeah. unless you already been through it. So when I was first put in this position, you know, not being able to play football, being released for the first time, all this was new to me. Like, all right, well, I think I'm good. I know I'm going to get signed. Although, you know, I got another opportunity, but you got to go through it, man. Like, you really have to, like, really go through it. And since we're speaking of just professional athletes, it's really tough on those guys. Like, everyone not going to have the Peyton Manning, Kobe Bryant, Ray Lewis dream walkout. You know, playing mm-hmm. 18 years, making all this money, winning the Super Bowl before you retire, Kobe hitting a 60-point game mm-hmm. before he retired, you know, having a set date of when it's going to be over. Right. The average NFL life expectancy now is, what, a year and, you know, maybe a year, 0.75, 2 years, depending on position you may be. Mm-hmm. So it's really nothing.
Yeah.
But then you still think about it. Yeah, it's a great, you know, a great life starter to come in making this much money. But at some point, when you're 28, you know, 23, 24, you're not playing no more. You're 28, you're not playing no more. I need money for when I'm 60.
Right, right, yeah.
That thing that you invested in, you know, hopefully it goes well. But at the same time, it may not go well.
Yeah.
The mouths that you was feeding, which a lot of players get in trouble for this, the mouths you was feeding, they still want it. They still hungry, mm-hmm. you know. But we don't have the money coming in like we used to still feed him.
Right.
You know, maybe he just had a child. You know, maybe you're on child support, whatever case may be like that. See, people don't really think about all that. They just think mm-hmm. that, you know, you play 1 year, you play 2 years, you play 6 years, you set for life.
Right.
No, it's the reason why these guys hold out, because they want to be set for life.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, everybody's just looking at the exterior.
Yeah, they want to be set for life. So, they, you know, as regular society that really don't know, they look at these contracts like, oh, he just signed for $60 million guaranteed. You think he getting that entire $60 million? No. Mm-hmm. That's why they holding out. They want to fight for more. Mm-hmm. Because Uncle Sam getting that, state taxes getting that, and it's a bad thing to say, but you know, these guys getting Rolexes and stuff, and now you're knocking it, getting cars and stuff like that too.
All the materialistic things.
And like I said, man, to be able to play is a great life starter. You know, if I could do it all over again, I wouldn't change anything.
Okay.
Because it definitely made me, not made me, but it helped me, it helped shape me to become the person and the man that I am today. Like, to be able to be in a very, you know, depressed state for about 2 years and to get out of that on my own. Like, I feel like, you know, it's nothing that I can't do. I feel like that was the hardest thing for me to ever go through. I felt like getting to the NFL was easy to me. But getting myself out of, you know, that depressed state
mm-hmm.
of being able not to play anymore, that was by far the hardest thing ever. So, and that's crazy that I'm saying that because, what, it's a 0.2% chance to make it to the NFL?
Yeah.
And I say that was easy compared to this. So, I hope that, you know, whoever listened to this, you know, that kind of like sit in. So, if you ever, you know, come past the celebrity, the Odell Beckham to the world, LeBron's, or whoever it may be, Devin Hines, Stephon Morris, you know, just ask how they day going. Any way you can help them, smile, good morning, like stuff like that go a long way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now that you touched on pretty much like, you know, the professional side of it, let's talk about like your experience in high school leading to college. Because I mean, I know for a lot of young guys, you know, trying to make the transition to college, trying to get to that point, that recruiting process could be extremely difficult. It can be extremely stressful at times, you know, especially the guys that have a boatload of teams that they have to choose from. It can be hard trying to put your destiny in play, or it could be hard in trying to figure out the path you want to take. How did you kind of like deal with adversity in that sense, you know, going through high school?
Yeah, so for me, you know, and of course you know my height, but for the viewers and the people that's going to listen, you know, I'm 5'9", you know, I was 5'8 and 7'8 when I, you know, measured for my pro day at Penn State. 5'9 on a good day in high school, you could probably imagine that I was probably 5'7½, 5'8".
Yeah.
So that alone, you know, for me, I wouldn't say I was the most skillful. Like, I wasn't a Tavon Austin at that size, playing receiver, playing running back,
mm-hmm.
doing this, doing that. You know, I was fast, you know, same type of speed, but I was completely just a football player. I was a defensive back, a really good defensive back. And the way how the game going now, man, if you're not, you know, 6 foot and up,
mm-hmm.
especially as a DB, they think you're no good no matter how talented you are. So, you know, in high school, one of my closest friends at that time, Derek Thomas, he was 6'1", 4 stars, player receiver. You know, we all played the same positions. Real skillful. I was just as skillful as him. And we competed in everything. And I worked hard. So I got that foundation from my dad. Like, I was working at an early age, you know, push-ups, sit-ups, pull-ups, you know, when I was like 10 years old,
mm-hmm.
you know, got to high school, putting in work, putting in sleds. So you think, you know, I'm doing all this, it's going to pay off. And come to find out, you know, your man that you see every day, he ain't putting that much work in, but the fact that, you know, my highlight tape may be better and his not, but the fact that he's 6 feet,
mm-hmm.
the camps that, you know, I done went to and he done went to and I done killed
right.
it.
Right. right.
He get an offer and I'm like, what? Like, what's going on? Then next thing you know, he get another offer. So it's the same thing, like I said, with the professional level. You know, when you become a free agent or you get released, you know, you start pointing the finger, you start hating a little bit. It's just natural. It's like,
natural.
I know I'm better than this person.
Right.
And that's what I was saying. So it kind of like made me, I was happy for him, but at the same time, I really despised him at the same time because I was like, I was always told, you know, hard work pays off. So this kid got about 5 offers. He a 4-star.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a 3-star still with no offers. You know, they telling me they want to see what I'm going to run. Like, that wasn't an issue, but I'm like, I was just in y'all face. You know, I'm going to these camps. Like, you saw me. You saw the type of work that I put in.
Mm-hmm.
You saw what I can do. So I ended up getting my first one. And that's one thing, I wouldn't say I regret, but that's one thing, you know, that I kind of like took with me as an adult, is just patience.
Right.
So it wasn't even about him getting his first. It was just the fact that I felt entitled at that time. But as a man, you know, at, you know, 27 years old, going on 28, that was a lesson that I learned. That's a lesson I'm still learning, and that, you know, hopefully that, you know, I can apply and be able to give to, you know, my peers, just the fact that it's patience. We want it on our own time, but God got a different time for us that, you know, no one sees, that sometimes we don't understand. And like I said, you know, he was getting his offers before me. Next thing you know, my first offer was a big offer at Penn State. And that just, like, changed my mindset just about, you know, patience. God timing versus my timing. Do I want this right now? Or do I want it when God, when I'm supposed to have it, when God is supposed to give it to me? And, you know, that's an everyday lesson, though. You know, we, I feel like, you know, this human race in this society, we so entitled to everything as if it's supposed to be given to us. Although, you know, you may get an A or you done did all these internships, whatever the case may be like that, you should be given it because this or whatever. Nah, it's going to be given to you when God feel like you're ready to have it. So, I wasn't ready to have those type of offers when he was getting his. So, that's just something to look at. That's a little bit of adversity that I went through in college, just the size, me not being patient, waiting. Other than that, high school was pretty set for me.
Okay. If you could, if there's any advice that you would give a high schooler, college student, or even the guys in the NFL, like, what would it be? Like, what's the most important thing that you would leave a person with?
I will probably tell them... that's a good question. That's a real good question. I want to say, you know, find something that you may be passionate outside of football, but it's so early sometimes where you may think like, oh, I want to do this. It's so premature, you just don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know I was going to start, you know, I always liked to cook, but I didn't know that I was going to really love to cook until I got my own place.
Right, right.
So, of course, I, you know, tell them, you know, let's, you know, start thinking outside the box. What else you want to do? But sometimes that can be a little premature because you just don't know.
Yeah. Everybody sometimes get like one-track-minded and they just...
And that's the same thing with football. So I'm telling this person to find something else. And he just sidetracked on, you know, maybe being whatever his occupation may be outside of football. And that may not work for him now and he's stuck again.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. You think about it, it's the same thing we tell these kids about football. You're a football player. How was football?
Yeah.
You did that?
Yeah.
So we telling this person, how was cooking school? How was cooking school?
Yeah.
You cooked today? Nah, so I would just tell them, man, that's a really tough question. Because there's so many lessons that I learned. I would tell them to keep everything in perspective.
Okay.
Yeah. Keep everything in perspective. And then what I mean by that is just making sure you're mentally not prepared because you don't know what's going to happen, but just mentally ready to handle whatever, you know, adversity may come. So just keep everything in perspective about your chances of making to the NFL, your chances about passing the bar exam. Just keep things in perspective. Keep going for it, you know. Keep working. Keep trying to get there. But at the same time, I done passed this bar exam 9 times. I think it's time to, you know, not to give up. But, you know, let's start looking at something else.
Right.
I done been released by 4 teams. And I'm only on my first year playing. Not saying it may not happen, but, you know, let's get that little bit of money that, you know, that money that we done had. Let's finish school.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start thinking about what else I may do. Not saying you're not going to get that call, but let's start thinking about something else. That's something I wish I would have did. Just keeping, like I said, man, just keeping everything in perspective. That's what I would say.
Right, right. Yeah, I actually think that's something good to say, because I think a lot of people kind of like throw out any other options for their lives.
Yeah.
Like once they get set on one thing that they really, really want to do, they kind of like throw away everything else.
Right.
Like I know myself for a moment, like with football, like I kind of just like I threw away all the other things that I wanted to do, like chemical engineering. I threw it away because Like, all I really wanted at the moment was to be able to play football. Pro. Yeah. You know, play football. Pro ball. Yeah. But, I mean, like, one thing I would say is to, like, not give up on all your dreams. Because...
Yeah, so when I say the whole thing about keeping things in perspective, you're not necessarily giving up. But at the same time, you know.
Yeah.
When it's time to... not necessarily move on, but you know when it's time to start planning for life. You know when mm-hmm. it's time to, you know, let's keep our mental sane.
Right.
You know when it's that stuff, whatever you may be going through or whatever you're doing, it's weighing on you and you starting to lash on other people.
Yeah.
You know when you're a clean cut guy, next thing you know you got dreads going off your head. So keep everything in perspective, man. Yeah. Like, just keep it in perspective.
Yeah.
Just keep it in perspective. If football don't happen for me, what else I want to do? What's the three things I want to do? What I need to work on? You know, if corporate America, being on Wall Street, you know, I don't get that job coming out of Harvard or whatever the case may be like that, of course I'm going to keep applying, but, you know, be proactive. Well, just because Wells Fargo didn't accept me doesn't mean Scotiabank don't accept me.
Right.
That's what I mean by keeping everything in perspective. But that's it for that one.
Okay. So for guys who are dealing with adversity but don't really know how to get through it, guys who have let adversity kind of like overwhelm or overrun them mentally and physically, like, what would you say to those guys to kind of help them shake that off and kind of like get back to life, get back to, you know, pursuing?
Back to man now?
Yeah. Because a lot of guys,
that's
like...
That's the thing too, though. Yeah. But you, at the end, you said pursuing as if pursue that same thing.
It don't even necessarily have to be pursuing the same thing.
I'm gonna speak on that just a little bit. That can somewhat be the problem.
Yeah.
So for me, like, the fact that I was in that space, I just got released, I just, you know, tore my hamstring, and now I'm thinking when I'm getting healthy, I'm going to get signed, so I'm still working out, I'm pursuing it, I'm not getting no calls, nothing, not shaking, now I'm losing myself.
Right.
I'm still losing myself, I'm still working out, now I'm angry, I'm working out, so the same type of intensity that I worked out when I was playing, I'm no longer on the team. I'm still working out hard, mm-hmm. but I'm no longer on the team. I'm not getting no calls. I'm not getting nothing like that.
Right.
So that's different when you're trying to pursue something in that aspect when you just mentally out of it.
Right.
It's different. So you got to kind of like, depends on the person. So you kind of got to draw those lines, play with those lines just a little bit. But, outside of that, to get them out of it, I think if you win it, I would say embrace it. Definitely embrace it, because, yeah, you can edit that out. All right. So I would say if you feel like you're in a depressed state, you may be going through some challenges mentally, the best way to get out of it is just to embrace it.
Okay.
Because people look at it as if everything against you. And in retrospect, it's really not, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's not. God put you in this position. They always say, you know, he put his toughest soldiers,
mm-hmm.
you know, in those type of situations because mm-hmm. he believe in them. So if God believe in you to get you, to put you in this position, you got to look at the... You gotta look between all those cracks and the fire and the water that's thrown at you and the smoke, and it's gonna be beautiful once you get past all that. So once I embraced it and knew that, you know, I needed help, knew that, you know, the devil was weighing on me, it kinda helped me out, because I was like, you know what, I'm not gonna let him defeat me. I'm tired of, you know, thinking about killing myself. I'm tired of thinking about ways to kill myself
mm-hmm.
when I know I'm not going to do it. God not even going to let me do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Stephon, you need to get your act together and let's get through this. Let's start filling out job applications. Let's start where you want to move to. What would you want to look, just things like that. Just, I would say embrace it. Embrace it and just know that your family is there for you. It's people that's supporting you. People that got your back. But most of all, God won't put you in a situation if you feel like you can handle it. It's not one person in this society or in this world who had never been through anything, mentally that they could have been exhausted from or just faced some challenges. They got out of it for the most case. So just be one of those ones to make that part of your story. It's just a story. At the end of the day, our story is already written.
Right. Just you living through it.
You gotta live through it.
Yeah. Cause I know there's I have a friend of mine who recently just graduated from the University of Maryland, and pretty much he went out to Jacksonville and made a mini camp early in the year and worked out for them, blew his hamstring. And ever since then, he's been different. Like, he's pretty much let adversity set in and kind of overrun him. And now he's at the point where, pretty much like you were saying before, like, I'm better than this guy. There's nobody out there on the field that's better than me. Like, he felt like he's the best tight end in the world right now. And, and he's trying to figure out how he can speak showcase. That. Yeah, how he can showcase that and express that feeling that he feels. But he's not looking at all his options because he knows that he had
to focus on football. Trying to get through rehab, trying to get signed at the same time, maybe speaking out on social media, which is another thing. Like, if you can read through the cracks with some of these guys, they're put on social media.
Yeah.
They may not necessarily say it, but just, that's one thing to, like, really look at, just what they liking, what they saying, how they interacting with people. Are they even posting?
Right.
People start posting.
Yeah, because some people just go into hiding. They go hiding. Shut down.
You start realizing this person was getting 2,000 likes. Now they getting 600 likes. Stuff like that play with you.
Yeah.
I know that play with me. I'm used to all these likes when I had my Instagram at that time. Then next thing you know, that's getting cut into half.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't be like that, but you're like, dang, like, with love.
Like, where everybody going? Yeah. Like, you were showing me all this love before, but where is it now?
It's different that now that you don't see me in the uniform, you just see me working out.
Yeah.
It might be some people like, keep grinding, bro, it's coming. I ain't trying to hit that.
Exactly.
I want to play now.
Exactly. But, yeah, I think a lot of times, like, people don't really take that in consideration because, like, sometimes like, when you're going through this struggle and like, you it's starting to sit in. And when people say the little things like just keep grinding, like, dude, what do you think I'm doing?
Yeah.
That's what I've already been doing.
I catch myself lashing on people all the time. Be like, man, just you good, man. Keep grinding. I'm like, bro, that's all I do is grind. When it's coming, bro.
Yeah.
Like, I ain't trying to hear all that no more.
Yeah.
I ain't trying to keep doing this. Like, it need to come down.
Yeah.
And that's when you find yourself just lashing at people. And it'd be like sometimes like the smallest of things. They may tell you, good job, but you misinterpreted it completely different. Just the fact that you just in a negative space.
Yeah.
So they told you good job, but to them, to you, you hear it as you're not playing no more.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you just not there. You ain't mentally there.
Right. Yeah, and I think like adversity could pretty much like play a trick on your mind and take you to like the darkest places ever and just have you be in terrible situations when it comes to like the people that are positive around you. You no longer look at those people as positive influences sometimes, when you're dealing with adversity, because it's like, oh, all right, you speaking truth to me, but you don't know what I'm going through.
That's
like true. you don't know what I feel or how I feel when I go home, like I'm by myself, And it's kind of hard to just take in what everybody's saying. But, like, at the end of the day, you have to, though. You kind of have to, like, take in consideration of what everybody else is saying and learn to, like, kind of, like, take the pieces out of it that you want to use for yourself to help the situation.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, like, if you haven't been through it, I ain't really trying to hear it.
Right.
Like, you don't know what I'm feeling. You ain't never been through that. You ain't never been released.
Right.
You don't know how that feel.
Right.
But if someone told me who been released, I'm going to take it. Like, I'm going to run with it. I'm listening. But if you just, you know, Joe Blow from
across
the street.
Yeah.
Bruh. Like, what you saying really don't matter to me. And Joe Blow can be giving you the same message that that person who done been through it. But our mindset is like, yeah, this person already been through it, man. I'm going to be all right. Joe Blow said, it's like, he supposed to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I mean, it's a rocky situation, but like we gotta like be able to like teach others like from these lessons too, you know, like, cause I mean like there's a lot of people who we don't know who don't say anything to us, or may not express it to us because you know like we were, or like you might have been like, you know, you kind of like kept it to yourself about how you was feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And like, not too many people are willing to, like, just come out and say, hey, I mean, I suffered with these thoughts throughout my adversity, you know. Not too many people come out and say, hey, like, you know, I need help.
Yeah, that wasn't until, you know, I got out of adversity, though, when I embraced it, everything I've been through, which I appreciate a lot now, as you can just tell. I'm just open about speaking about it if I need to. But back then, you wouldn't have known.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. You know, my dad knew, parents knew, but you ain't know when I was coming to the thing.
Yeah,
y'all want to know how I was feeling. I hated being around y'all, and that's something that I built. Like, I hated it. I'm like, what am I doing here? I should be getting ready for the Giants or somebody.
Yeah. Like,
I hated it, but it's just, it depends on that person, too. It really depends on that person. Like, you really have to just be strong.
Yeah.
And not strong with your physique, but you need to be, have a strong foundation to lean on, strong will, just to pull yourself out of it.
Right.
And at the same time, you need to be, if you're not already, you need to get closer to God, because you're in that adversity for a reason. He putting you in that adversity for a reason.
Definitely.
Not to get you out of it, but, you know, one day be able to tell your story of how he got you out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you go through these things not to just say, I got myself out of it, but when I speak, it's God got me out of this. He did this for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's telling a story about God. So you come across a non-believer, you're not trying to change their mind, mm-hmm. but you tell them what God did for you so they can believe, try to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Going forward, I mean, is there anything that you could use to help others from your journey, your path?
I would say, man, my biggest thing right now is my availability. If anyone need to talk to me about what I went through, what I was thinking, if they thinking the same thoughts, if they feeling some type of way, no, I won't be able to answer your questions for you, but I think I can help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I can lead you in the right direction. So my best thing right now is just my availability. I'm available to talk to all. They want to speak to all. It may be different situations, but I'm going to do the best way I can to help this person, you know, be able to tell their story to the next person. You just never know who you may impact. So I know I impact a lot of guys in Prime Example and elsewhere, Penn State and guys I played with in New England.
Right.
So I'm helping them to be able to help that next person, and that's just paying it forward. That's what, you know, that's what God wants us to do.
Mm-hmm. Would you, trying to figure out how I can best word this, would you say, do you feel like fear kind of like enables adversity?
So my fear was not making it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
That was the stupidest fear. Think about it, it was just stupid. Like, looking back at it now, like, do you know how rare it is to make it to the NFL? How hard it is to make it to the NFL? But that was a fear of mine. I mean, that fear drove me to make it, but if I was to get somebody else that fear, knowing they wasn't going to make it, or they had that same fear, you know, yeah, like the mental they would go through. If I was telling this person, man, just, you going to make it, bro. Like, you going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it worked for me. I'm telling you, you going to make it. But I know this person may not be as talented or whatever case may be like that. I'm leading him in the wrong direction. That's what I was saying, man. We got to keep everything in perspective. We got to be real with one another. Got to be real with yourself.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
So, yeah. Yeah, I get that. I definitely understand that. It kind of seems like everything, in a sense, kind of leads back to putting everything in perspective.
And it would have said, fear no man but God.
Absolutely.
But my fear was a sport.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can use your fear no man but God. Don't have no fears. Just fear God. That's what I would say.
Yeah. Like, something I always say is, don't be afraid of failure, because failure can sometimes lead to success. Like, if you're not afraid to fail.
Yeah, failure gonna lead to success.
It'll lead to success. Man,
that was the best thing for me, was to fail.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best thing. And I wouldn't even call it failing, because that wasn't a failure.
Right.
That was successful, too. I just ain't look at it that way at that time. I felt as if it was a failure. And that was one of my things I was scared to do, was to fail, because I never failed before. But it wasn't a failure. It was success. It was success. That was like the best success that I could have ever been through. Like that pain, like that, that mindset, like them 2 years of just being depressed. That was the best feeling ever. Because it made it. I'm fine. I'm good. Like, I'm happy. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm happy. Like, I feel like it's nothing that can happen. And I don't want to say nothing, because there's some things, you know, that, you know, have me messed up. But I just feel like it's nothing that's going to have me feeling like that, like how I was feeling.
Mm.
Like, bro, like, I used to telling you, like, I used to be in the shower, bro. My dad leave out the house, man. And that's how crazy it is. Like, I'll wait till he leave out the house and break down.
Yeah. I
couldn't break down in front of him.
Yeah, because you ain't want him to see it.
Everything was all right. But that's the same thing we was talking about earlier in this episode, far as people don't say good morning to these people.
Yeah.
They don't say how your day going.
Yeah.
He was asking those questions. He was saying that to me, but to somebody else, they ain't asking that. The first thing I was getting from elsewhere was, man, when you going back to play? What's the word? You know, about your agent? You know how much time I was hearing? I hated hearing that. Like, bro, I don't know what you ask him. Like, I was jumping at everyone. Like I hated it. But, like, I had to, like, wait just to, like, break down.
Yeah.
Like, I was so scared to be by myself. And the thing is, like, I wasn't going to never kill myself. I was having thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
I always say, they say, you know, back then, you know, having mental concerns. I don't like use the word issues or problems. Having a mental concern, it's weak. They ain't weak. It's real.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone goes through something mentally. And I'm learning that today. But, man, that was success for me. It was successful. Like, I done been through a little bit of stuff at work. You know, my first real job, real corporate job. I was new at it. And, you know, it wasn't always as great as it is now. But I've been there before.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man, Steph, you done been through it.
Mm-hmm.
You better not. Like, what? Like, come on now. You done been through this. You done got yourself out of this. God done got you all this. He done put you in this to see this, to put you in this position right here. You got to own it. Own it.
Absolutely.
Own it, embrace it, enjoy it.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, I appreciate you, you know, coming aboard and sharing your story and sharing, you know, pretty much like your views and perspectives of adversity. Because, I mean, like just listening to everything that you had to say, like, kind of like, it kind of like, you know, shed some light for me too. Because, you know, like, I deal with stuff on a daily basis. But, I mean, like, even for those that are listening to this podcast, I mean, there's a definitely be something, you know, that they can gain something from.
Yeah, I hope so, man. Like I said, I just want to pay it forward. And I know, you know, it's a lot of people that's going through something. And you asked me earlier if I can just get them any advice. You know, as an athlete, maybe be keep everything in perspective. Because you just never know. You know, everyone has an expiration date.
Mm-hmm.
We just don't know when that is. Yeah. Same as it goes, you know, being sports. Everyone has the expiration date of sports. We just don't know when that time going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, like I said, man, my best ability right now is my availability just to talk to whoever they want to lean on me. You know, put mm-hmm. our heads together, let's pray together, whatever case may be like that. It's a lot. Like, this subject is so broad.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because, you know, mental health goes from, it could be stress, anxiety, depression, grief of loss. There's just so many topics, and it's one thing. That's why I said, you just never know what somebody may be going through. So, how you doing? Good morning. How you doing, sir? Never know. Like, I get on the elevator at work. Good morning. Don't even know these people. They work. I'm on the second floor. Mm-hmm. They're on the sixth floor. Good morning. How you doing? They ain't expecting that, but yeah. You see them say good morning back. Man, you never know. Just yeah. never know. It's just, yeah, I think you should start the day off, you know, just good morning to whoever. I'm not saying, you know, just go down the street and just good morning to everyone, but y'all make eye contact or someone hold the door for you or whatever case may be like that. Even if they don't say it back, simple good morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you never really know how you can impact somebody's life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what better way to get it started? Just giving them a good morning. It just goes a long way.
Yeah, definitely. Well, folks, you know, you heard it here from, you know, Stephon Morris, taking consideration of his story, taking consideration of the different perspectives of adversity, taking consideration of how, you know, adversity can build you as a person. Just, you know, don't allow it to break you down, allow it to build you. And
yeah, you just gotta own it and just look at it as a success story. It's like your story, your own personal book, the book that you're gonna give your kids. Your kids gonna go through this book. Your grandkids gonna go through this book. And that it may not be the same chapter, it may not be the same sentence, or maybe something different, but it's that foundation that we're setting now upon each other that, you know what? Man, my kid, he gonna be good. You know? Mm-hmm. He done seen dad and mom work.
I really appreciate, you know, you coming aboard. I'd like to thank you for taking the time to, you know, come upon Downtown with Devin and then share your message, share your story, and share your perspectives. And as far as my loyal listeners, I'd like to thank you for tuning in and hopefully gaining something helpful from this episode of Adversity. And it's Downtown with Devin, folks. Have a good one.